This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Tonight we say good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Happy Election Day.
Oh, yes.
It feels weird. Like, everything feels weird. Like, I was just, Rach and I were just saying to each other, thankfully she felt the same way, like, I don't know why I think this, but I feel like we don't have to do a show today. Like, you know, like, typically if there's something really big going on, then we don't have to, you know, like, oh, there's a baseball game, we don't have to do a show, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. So, given the enormity of the election, and then tonight I'm just going to chill and have some wine and Snickers bars and watch it all roll in, I just feel like I shouldn't have to do the show. I got enough on the plate. Yeah.
Feels like we have reached the finish line. We have reached the finale.
Yes.
Of 2024.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. It's a good way to put it.
It does, but it also kind of feels like there might be a whole lot of crap coming.
Yeah,
too.
I was going to say.
Maybe that's it,
too. This feels like the halftime show.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Like, today's the halftime show.
Yes.
Here
exactly.
Here comes Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, and then after that,
because you know,
chaos.
There's zero chance. Zero. Then it just goes normal. Zero chance.
Oh, we can't do anything normally.
Well, I mean,
anymore.
I think Trump it actually win. Will go Trump normal, but that lose. Doesn't mean people are going to think it did.
Yes, but the fallout is not going to be normal.
No.
There's just no way that, you know, I mean, if Donald Trump wins, I think Kamala will concede and will move ahead with government under Trump. If Trump loses, I don't know.
Lawsuits, I mean, challenges.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, like today, the American Bar Association sent out a letter to everybody saying, reminding everybody, hey,
oh,
by the way,
frivolous lawsuits,
you know,
yeah.
He said the story was something like the courtroom is not a place for conspiracy theories or something like that. And then it noted that how many of the people that got involved in the Jan 6 stuff got disbarred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is not your showcase to be political. It's a courtroom. Supposed to be about evidence and what can be proven and what cannot be instead of throwing stuff at the wall.
I'm not sure if it was the early voting or the time that I went, because I went at about 8:30 a.m. this morning to my polling place. I literally walked in and voted.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a human in front of me.
Did not wait.
Well,
crazy. And also with the early voting, there were so many lines, partly because in St. Louis County, they had 14 absentee early voting satellite locations. Now there's like, what, 233 voting locations?
So 70 in the city and 230 in the county.
Yeah. So you have an exponential, you know, more locations to
today
vote.
Today felt like back to pre-COVID times.
Yeah.
Like, this was how my experience with voting has always been prior to COVID.
I was banking a couple hours.
Yeah.
I was
13 minutes. 13 minutes from the time I parked my car until I drove out of the lot.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, there were people voting when I got there, but I walked right in. There were probably three or four you know, booths open.
Yeah.
So it's super easy today.
Yeah.
You guys will get this. There's always a moment. And for me, it wasn't until I was putting my ballot into the little machine. But there's always a moment because there's so much buildup and, oh, the weather's terrible. And maybe I should wait and go out to the show. Why didn't you early absentee vote? All this stuff going on. And okay, it looks okay. Oh, there's no line. Okay. Then I do my voting. I pretty much knew what I was going to do. I didn't do like a sample ballot, but I kind of knew, you know, the issues and the ones I didn't care that much about. And then when I put it in the machine, my chest swelled with pride. You know, there's mm-hmm. just something about if Bezos or, you know, some power broker were voting next to me, his vote counts exactly like mine. Now, there are other ways that people like that can affect elections that I can't, but there's just something very American. Mm-hmm. And it really fills you with pride, which is one reason, whether it's Donald Trump or it's Kamala Harris or it's some future person in 20 years, that's why, for me, forget all the shenanigans, forget all the craziness, forget all the gaffes, forget all of that. Making wild assertions about the integrity of the election to me is no. That's a no. Mm-hmm. Now, I think making assertions is fine. Filing lawsuits is fine.
Yes.
As long
if
as
you
it's
have
due
evidence.
Process.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you don't, it's sort of like I always say, people ask me about when I do stand-up comedy, and I say it's self-policing. No one's going to laugh, even if they think I'm funny, if in the moment I'm not funny.
Right.
You know immediately. And having been a trial attorney, there are different judges and there are different sorts of court cases, but it's also self-policing. If you have standing, if you don't have standing, if you have the evidence, you don't have the evidence. And so I never begrudge anyone going through their due process, whether you're accused of a felony or you think that you were that the election was rigged. It's just that when it gets to that point that it has been disproven, and I'm not even talking about 2020, I'm talking about 2024, 2026, 2028. That is dangerous. And it really came home to me when I put that ballot in that machine. Like, how dare anyone taint this without real reason.
Yeah. What really strikes me,
and
too,
one
is...
one more point. If there is real reason, then let's find out.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Yes. Let the court cases play out. And when they play out, let's go with the decisions that are made.
Right. What's really striking to me, though, is the either intentionally ignoring the way our elections are conducted or not knowing. They're done locally. Right. They're not done by a national organization. The federal government is not running the election. Your county is. Your county is where your votes are being counted. It's who's running it. Right. I mean, we saw this breakdown, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, because there was some scandal there. What was it last week? I forget. There was something somebody said. Oh, it was the postmaster thing. Like, why is this guy bringing all these ballots? Yeah, he's the mailman. He's bringing in the mail ballots. Well, he went through it and he said, look, we have. I forget what number. I think it was something like we have 67 different counties, and some of them are run by Democrats, and some of them are run by Republicans. My attorney general is a Republican. They're all the people that are running the election. It's like it's not being done by one group of people. And you can't just say, well, I don't trust the people that don't vote like I do, because that's how we are right now. Like, we're choosing to say we don't trust the person or the people that run it from the other side. But we trust our people, which is kind of like what we do with the Senate, right? Everybody has a negative view. The approval rating of the Senate is always terrible, yet the incumbents always get reelected. It's everybody else that's the problem. It's not our guy that's the problem. Well, I mean, apply the same standard.
So here on KMOX, we have wall-to-wall coverage. I wasn't asked to be a part of it tonight, but Rachel was. So Rach is going to be here with the team. Tell them about what you're doing, Rach.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to Kelly Jackson. She is an assistant professor of communications at SLU, and she really understands internet trends and political memes and stuff like that. We're going to talk about how the internet has influenced the 2024 election and how it may have influenced Gen Z voters,
too. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk
to
her.
And I know that Phoebe can vote, which is crazy, but... until I watched your video of you talking to 18 and 19-year-olds, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, that's right. That's right.
I saw that today.
Once again, their vote counts just like mine does.
Somebody came in today right after me, right when I was sitting down to fill out my ballot. I didn't look because I don't know. I just don't pay much attention when I'm there. My eyes are on my phone, and then I get my ballot and I go. I'm not really like trying to have conversations. But this kid was like really excited Because he walked right up to the judges like, this is my first time voting. And they were like, congratulations.
Good for him.
I'm like, ah, look at that. Newbie.
I had the opposite. I once again didn't land a joke. Remember the other day when I crashed my water? Yeah. And I blamed it on Nick. So my license is 2 months expired.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
And I reached out to Kurt Barr, who's our buddy, as you guys know. And he said, nope, there is a rule that if it was legal, if it was it didn't expire till after the last general election, which is 2022, you can vote. And okay. And I got the language and I was ready to go. And I should have just gotten my license renewed because I should be a good citizen. But I was really busy the last 3 weeks buying North Face beanies on eBay.
Yes.
And I mean, it took all my time. Mm-hmm. All my time.
It's you got to do your research.
Right? You can't just willy-nilly.
It looks wonderful.
Thank you.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you made the right choice after all those options. That's
so
the right choice.
I was ready. I was ready for the confrontation. And so they beat my little thing, and the lady goes, got bad news for you. She's like, your license expired. And what I meant to do was very under the radar, go like, oh, I did a little research on this and found out that it's 2022 and all this. And here's what I said. Well, I talked to Kurt about it, and he said,
Kurt,
swear to God. And the guy sitting with her goes, we know who you are. You like, don't big time us. And I guess, I don't know.
He said that?
Yeah, I didn't mean to. He didn't say no big time.
Oh,
he just goes,
I'm like, wow.
You know who you are.
Oh.
And you still get to vote. Don't worry about it. But it was like a little bit unpleasant. And I felt
Kurt.
Terrible. I talked to
you guys
Kurt.
Know Kurt, don't you?
pardon me, but I just talked to KB on my way in. And I'm just not
great.
Landing jokes all over
talk
the place.
To your boss.
That's right.
And it's okay.
Maybe
oh,
no.
That's great.
Kurt Barr. Maybe you'd be interested in his opinion.
It does, though. It's like with
I don't
voting.
Know, Kurt. Don't come in here with that.
They're very accommodating with voting. Like, I remember in 2020, like, don't worry if you don't have any ID, you know, provisional ballot or whatever. And they go through it and they cure the ballots and they just make sure that you're not stressed. You're not taking a test. But we all have like PTSD from like the DMV. And I'm like, I've got my passport. I've got my emissions test.
Right.
What
it is like that.
Need?
It is like that.
Yeah. And they're like, no, you're fine. You don't need your emissions.
Your admissions test.
You have an Ameren bill.
I have an Ameren bill.
Yes.
My birth certificate. What else do you need for me to vote? And they're like, it's okay. Your driver's license is going to be just fine.
You do that one. You're like, I just saw Greg Damon. He said my admissions test is fine for me to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the Bronco broke down. And so we're having to fix out at Greg Damon's place. And it's not going to be done until tomorrow. And I said, hey, can I come out and can I just get an oil change and I'll pay you for both? And he goes, sure, you'll be sitting in the waiting room with Wheeler.
Yeah.
Can't get away from this guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 8 a.m., buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Which is just,
oh
now you're going to see a different version of me, though.
Really?
That's zombie Wheeler at 8 a.m., man.
Okay.
I just sit there like,
that's my golden hour. Well, that's when I start to go downhill.
Like, Amy's like it's
six to eight.
Amy's ready for the early bird dinner special.
Yeah. She sundowns at sun up. This one over here.
What time is your uptime? Usually out of bed?
Like five. Five something. Yeah, that depends.
Mm.
Today was 5:30.
That's just not right.
You know what, guys? I'm about to take this off track, and I shouldn't say this, but I don't want to bust up anybody who put the flag up, which is cool. They put the American flag up in the studio today.
Oh, yeah.
But it's backwards.
Andrew, you were right.
It's backwards.
Okay, I couldn't put my finger on what exactly it was,
but if you turn
I looked
your head
at
this
it,
way, it's right.
The stars
I looked
and stripes,
at it, and I was like, something's
Yeah, the stars
wrong.
Are supposed to, if you have the flag vertically hanging, the stars are supposed to be on the upper left.
So,
we're supposed to swing it around.
So, yes. And here's why, because Dave, this I feel like you probably...
It would be right.
No,
but it's not. It's
facing the wrong
the
way.
The stars have to be same side as your heart.
So I feel like Dave would do something like this, but I'm always prepared. And ever since I was younger, just in case I was in the Olympics and just in case I won a medal, you know how you run around with the flag?
With the flag.
stars in the right hand. I've known that since I was like six.
How about that?
Just in case. That's what the Olympians always say. Stars in the right hand. So that way when you run.
When you show everybody.
Yes, with the flag around you. Like you're holding it behind you like a cape and you're running around. And I'm like, well, I better be prepared because in case I go to the Olympics and medal.
Yes.
I need to know how to hold the American
flag.
That's
a very Dave thing.
That's how I knew it. That's how I knew it too.
from the marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Olympics?
I was like, you know what? In case I ever end up going to the Olympics.
And meddling.
And winning a medal.
Yeah. Stars in the right hand. Now you know.
It also feels like we shouldn't be holding it up with binder clips. I don't know if there's anything about that in the flag
check,
code.
Let me check the U.S. flag code.
I don't know if there's that's part
really
of the code.
We're screwing this up. Oh the most patriotic day of the year. We're like, let's throw that up there.
America.
Got a little bubble gum. We can stick this thing up.
Oh, my gosh.
But it looks nice, you know. Maybe
it
we
does.
Can fix it on the break.
Well, we'll fix it because Fox 2 is going to be in here later.
Yeah, we don't need that kind of
with
smoke.
With Hancock and Kelly.
They're not going to be in here.
They have a fancy room.
Oh, they got a fancy room.
Yeah, they're in the conference room.
Yeah. You notice that table was missing?
There was
a table out in the dining area that's the big long table. It's not there.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's probably going to be up front in that,
Excellent.
I feel like some of the magic is gone now because people will be watching going, Wheeler said that's the dining table from the lobby.
Right.
It feels a
way to go, Wheels.
Sorry for ruining your election magic.
It's a magical day.
Yeah.
It is a magical day.
Sure. Supposed to be.
Be patriotic, Wheeler.
I mean,
smile.
I am. I wish it was.
Smile.
The problem is we just know that this is going to be stupid again.
I wish you cared about America.
Faith. I have faith.
I have faith in America. I don't have a faith in a lot of Americans.
No, that's true.
Come on. That's
that's true.
And probably including myself.
Wheeler's got a real someone brought his kid to work today vibe.
I know. Mm. I know.
Right?
Yeah.
What's that vibe? I don't get the reference.
You're the kid.
You're the kid.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's every day, though.
Dismissive, crabby.
When Greg Damon told me, yes, I can change your oil, but Wheeler will be here, I said, that's okay. He'll have to leave early for a haircut.
Yeah.
No.
And he is.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
I got a haircut at 9:30. I got to get moving after the oil change.
Busy morning.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy day.
Did you vote already? Or are you going to vote today?
I did today. Yeah, 13 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. You got your oil changed, a haircut?
No, that's tomorrow.
Voted?
The oil change is tomorrow.
This is the most
it's a pretty busy day.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That
day
is a busy day.
That's a month for me. Let's be honest, man. Just get it all done in one day.
That's an amazing
day. I don't care about these overachievers that do like two errands in a day.
I know.
Come on.
Oh, I would feel like a rock star.
If you did two errands.
I accomplished two of anything.
Whenever I tell somebody I got to run errands, it's one thing. I got one thing.
Which gives you more pride, Dave, getting two errands accomplished or voting? Because, I don't know, man, two errands is pretty satisfying.
Yeah. Voting was easier than two errands.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of jacked up, though? Like, it's that easy for us and other people today are going to have to sit in line for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty jacked up.
Yeah. Yep, agreed. Welcome back, guys. DGS 125. I almost had milk throat there. I was able to fight it off at the last minute.
Welcome back, guys. Happy birthday, Nick.
I had a friend of mine used to be on radio here in St. Louis, and I had never heard him on. He was on the country station, or one of them. And the one time I turned him on, he comes back from a song or whatever. He's like, hey, whatever. Like, because he had just had a Frosty from Wendy's.
Oh, man.
I was like, dude, you all right? First and only time I ever heard him on the radio.
I don't think I've ever had a really bad one, like choking or something like that. Have I? Do you guys remember any times?
I can't remember doing it.
I've had several little ones.
Yeah.
Because I'm always eating before I come back on the air, which is rule number one.
No Randy Tobler moments.
No, none of them.
No better go to breaks.
I know when I first started here, I think I was still just doing blues radio. Mark Reardon, I think, sneezed on the radio, and he said, oh my gosh, I've been doing radio for 20 years or something. He's like, that's literally never happened.
That's
like,
awesome.
How do you sneeze on the radio? And he was just shocked. It just came out of nowhere.
I have this back of my mind hiccups fear.
Yeah.
Because when that happens.
Yeah, now I do.
Yeah.
You just unlock.
Sorry about that.
There's nowhere to go.
You never thought of that?
No.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
No. I get the hiccups every single day, and it's horrible.
It's the worst.
Getting rid of it.
Multiple times. I have a little hernia right here. Like, not a crazy one, but it causes me to have things.
You're pointing
like,
to your heart.
It's the esophagus. Yeah, right at the top of your stomach.
And it causes me to get hiccups like 3 times a day. And it's just, it's a nightmare.
Can they do something for that?
It would need like a surgery, and I don't really, I don't feel like doing that.
Yeah.
And I always have hiccups, you can have a hernia up at the top of your stomach.
Yeah, it's the esophagus. Yeah, so it's where the esophagus meets the like diaphragm or whatever this is.
And a hernia is just when some tissue comes through other tissue, correct?
Yeah, it folds up weird. It's like trying to squeeze through the hole and I can't make it all the way through. So I have hiccups all the time.
That's awful.
That's not good.
I get a lot of times it's like right when I wake up, so it's like a horrible way to start the day.
If you had chronic hiccups, that would be one of the worst.
Yeah.
Like non-life-threatening ailments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, just it's not, all the time.
It's not like, you know, the end of, it just is annoying. It's just like annoying to randomly start hiccuping for 10 straight minutes or
like
whatever.
Like that dude, there's that dude that was on 60 Minutes. I think it was 60 Minutes. It was some one of those news shows, and he has like just involuntary orgasms all day.
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Didn't think he was going to say that. No, like the reporter interviews him and they go play frisbee golf.
Amy's never heard those two words. You never heard this?
No, I just didn't think that's where you were going.
No one expected that one.
You're right, Chris. It sounds horrible.
The reporter goes out and they're playing frisbee golf and the guy has one in the middle of it and he has to go to the ground.
To the ground?
Yeah, he had like an accident where he had some sort of brain damage. And after the accident.
And what exact type of accident, please?
I don't know, dude. I
can replicate it.
Bro, you do not want that at work. Can you imagine?
We don't want that at work.
Yeah.
No, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
It's bad.
I need to see you hitting the ground like a fainting goat in there.
There he goes again.
There he goes.
Oh, he thought that was really funny. Oh, boy. Down he goes.
All right, we don't need to imitate
it. Yeah.
I feel like that might be taking it a step too far.
This one went off the rails.
You're welcome.
Earlier, Steve's like, what do you got planned for Election Day? Well, I'm going to let Ron set the stage.
Slide through my hands.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camo X. Happy Election Day. We have wall-to-wall coverage for you through the evening. So I saw a billboard yesterday that stuck in my mind. It was for St. Louis University, and it just said, higher purpose, greater good. And I thought, that's nice. That's nice hyperbole. And it made me wonder that living in this age of complete hyperbole, that we all do it. We all do it to the nth degree. Every burrito's awesome. You know, like, do words mean much anymore like that? I'm sure whoever came up with that catchphrase, it meant a lot to them. I'm sure there are some kids who are motivated by it. And I hate to be like Debbie Downer. I would like to think that higher purpose and greater good really does mean something to us in 2024, but I'm not sure it does. Thoughts?
I have never been much for those things. So, I mean, I don't know. Because a lot of times it comes across as being, I'm not talking specifically about this sign that you're talking about, but like that kind of thing just comes across as rah-rah BS. And there's nothing that people hate more than just rah-rah BS. I'd rather it be, you know, a little more, I don't know. I mean, it's not to say that people shouldn't chase things like higher purpose or bigger things, but I mean, it just seems easy to say when you're selling something.
Well,
again,
said.
Not about that necessarily, just in advertising or in politics or whatever. You're always selling something. It's easy to sell that, but are you doing it?
And it seems like, and I could be wrong, because I was here 50 years ago, but I was 10 and didn't care about anything. But it seems that 50 years ago, we spoke less and we said more. And now we speak so much more and seem to say so much less.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean... There are probably people listening who think that of at least one of us in this room, you know, that this guy talks a lot, but he doesn't really say anything. But I feel like there's a lot of that with the ability to have social media and you can put your thoughts out there whenever you want. So everybody feels like they are saying something profound all the time when maybe 10% of it is actually profound.
Oh, yeah. I just think social media has contributed to what was becoming already an overly confessional society and over vulnerability, where almost weakness now is praised more than resilience. The admission, I just can't do this, is viewed more highly than people who are able to push through. And I do think social media has given a lot of people an inflated sense of self-importance. And then we just look at, you know, cultural trends as people become, whatever it is, less tied into their community, less tied in with their families, less tied in with church or faith or whatever it may be, you're going to fill that hole. And a lot of times we start to fill that deeper meaning, that sense for belonging with ourselves. We no longer need to fit in more with the community or with the church or with the bowling league or whatever it may be. We've become so isolated that as long as, like, you know, I'm good enough, I'm my biggest hero. I really think we've just really turned our vision, our gaze inward to ourselves, and then that's what we're broadcasting.
Part of this, I don't know if I'm going the wrong direction here, but part of it feels like,
I swear to God, this is about involuntary
this
orgasms.
It's not about orgasms this time. But I almost wonder if it's almost like we have too many experts. So if everybody's an expert, then nobody is. And I get this when I'm on Instagram and I'm, you know, scrolling through the news feed or whatever. And you've got maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong for this, tell me, because I feel like I'm not. But when you see a person who is like 25 and they present themselves as a life coach, and it happens a lot. There are a lot of these people on Instagram, a lot of people on TikTok that they're coaching you on how to live your life. And I'm like, you're 25. How do you, your life hasn't hit you yet. You've had a childhood. And then maybe you went to college. You're not out of college that long. How can you even begin to tell somebody who's 20, 30, or 50 years older than you how they should live their lives? I think that's really hard for me, and to accept that. And I feel like there is so much of that out there. Again, and these people, I think, believe they are profound when they speak to you.
Yeah, the way I took it was a little different, David, because it's in the, because I'm thinking of it as we're bombarded by these ideas that used to be big, significant ideas, but we're bombarded by them with product advertisements, right? I mean, we're seeing, you know, shoe companies telling you to, you know, whatever, to like go grab life or whatever, and you're seeing things co-opted, that like political speeches from the past, whether it's MLK or JFK, like these things that are significant, but then they're attached to a product. Mm-hmm. Well, your company is not really telling me to just shoot for my dreams. You're telling me to buy your shoes. Yeah. You're trying to make me feel good about your shoes or your drink or your clothes by trying to use this inspirational thing to attach. So that's where I get my skepticism. Like you're trying to attach a higher ideal to the dumb product you're trying to sell me, and that turns me off to the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like everything is an attempt at inspiring you, and it's just like everything's a accessory now.
I have another topic about words, and this one is not baked in my mind, so I apologize in advance if it is offensive to anyone, but I was watching television last night, and an ad came on for a gentleman named Schnelting. Not even sure what he's running for, but his ads are on TV, and he said, look, boys are boys, and girls are girls, and that's the way it is. And I'm in an interesting position because I am from a generation where boys were boys and girls were girls. And a lot about that statement appeals to me. You know, it's simple. Come on. Boys are boys. Girls are girls. But then I have a soft heart for people who don't fall into that category. People who were born as one and believe that they are the other, or they are fluid, or they are this, or they are that. And that trumps my comfort with boys are boys and girls are girls. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't believe that and it directly affects their life and they're just trying to live their life, that trumps my simplicity and my comfort with a statement like that.
Our beliefs can be whatever we want them to be as long as they're not holding anyone else back or limiting anybody else in their individual freedoms, right? Your freedom stops where it starts to impede on mine. My freedom stops when it starts to impede on yours. We need to get back to a place where we just leave people alone and treat people like people, even if you don't understand or identify or agree, whatever it is, whatever level of issue you have with it, it's okay. It's okay for everyone to be who they are. You know, we think of these things as new because the conversations are new, but all of these issues that we're talking about with gender issues, they've existed since the dawn of human time.
They just didn't talk about it.
It was not discussed. But I mean, there are writings from thousands of years ago describing these differences that we're talking about. And I don't understand why we have to assign right or wrong to what we see or think.
Well, I mean, and I would say, like, and I get where you're coming from, Dave, and you two Wheels with saying, you know, this is a free country, but Wheels, like you said, your freedom stops when it impedes on my freedom.
Yep.
And that's why I think there, when you look at a question like biological realities of the male and female body in some circumstances, right? That's when you're talking about the way someone dresses or pronouns or lives their life, right? Okay, that's their freedom to do that. If it crosses into a venue where it can affect others' freedoms, like we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
male bodies competing against female bodies,
yep.
because sports is science. It's not it's not gender identification. It's not sexual orientation. It's bodies versus bodies. And then that's when you do have to be able to have a respectful conversation because freedoms then are impeded. And
yeah, so 100%.
You have to deal with the reality there.
And it leads to more subtle, textured, and nuanced outcomes.
Yes.
When you say, if you were born a male and you identify as a female, you can do these things, but you can't do these things for that very reason.
Right.
Because in this column, you're not impeding anyone else's life. In this column, you are. And it may go the other way. I mean, the laws may go completely the other way and say you can do both columns.
Yeah. It's a great point, Amy, because that is the point that we should treat everyone as a human and have respect for them as a human being. But we don't all get to do what we want.
Well,
that's the thing that we don't seem to understand. Like, competing in a sport is not your right. You do not have an American right to play a sport, whether you're a man or a woman, or you are a trans woman or a trans man. You don't have that right. There are rules that are made up by the people who run those sports. Now, you do have a right under the law to have the same privileges under the law that any of us do. And I don't have the right to play in any sport. I was told I can't play because I'm not good enough, right? I mean, they're different rules, but it's okay to have the conversation about what we can accept and what we don't without turning it into a political hammer.
Well, that's the problem, though.
Yes.
The problem is that you can't have a nuanced conversation if the starting point is a man's a man, a woman's a woman, and that's the end of it. If you think it's anything else, you're wrong. That's the political landscape. That's what it is right now. So how can you have a nuanced conversation if that's your starting point?
Rach, how's the conversation hit you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just taking in what everyone's saying. I feel like Chris is right. It is limiting the conversation quite a bit to say this is the way it is. That's an incredibly privileged take that you have only ever interacted with people who identify as the way they were born. I wish that we could just kind of take down the rhetoric on that side a bit. It's exhausting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad because trans people are a small percentage of the population, and yet these issues take up so much time and energy.
Yes.
And it just feels a little ridiculous that that's the big boogeyman going around.
Yes.
And it's like, I've never personally been affected by this.
That's the thing I said about it a long time ago. I think it came up in this room, is that it's an issue and it's something that can be discussed and we can debate it. But we are treating it like it is the thing that matters the most. And I bet if you really talk to most people and you got them to be honest and you said, hey, what are the five most important things to you in your life? I'd be surprised if more than 10% said that was one of them.
Yeah.
And I think, right. Here's the thing. If you're not a competitive athlete, if you're not an athlete, you're not going to run into this issue. I'm an athlete. I know a lot of athletes. I compete with a lot of athletes, and it is an issue. And even if it's not a lot, if like you said, the trans community is a relatively small population, even more so when you get into athletics, but it only takes one average male body to take down all the female
records.
Does
it deserve the national attention it gets?
Well, and I think what happens
is the amount of the volume of the attention.
Whenever I bring it up, I do get dismissed or interrupted. And the thing is, I'm not talking as a national politician. I'm talking as someone who's pretty passionate about female sports and want to protect that. And I say, okay, so this is an issue. Let's have the conversation and say you can be protective of women's sports without being labeled as transphobic or hateful or being dismissed because it's only one. That is a big deal. It's a big deal. Growing up as a competitive athlete, growing up with goddaughters and friends who are D1 athletes, it's a big deal. Those college, think of every, Wills, you've probably seen parents with their 8-year-old son in some CYC league absolutely losing their mind because they think the coach did something unfair. So you can imagine it is a big deal for female athletes when it feels that disadvantage is coming. I think having a conversation without, me being grouped in with all the other, they're just using it as a political hammer. And I do think there are those who are concerned with the way we look at gender-affirming care for young people. And I think that is a valid concern. And if you're thinking, I don't know that this is the best approach to take, you can look at how certain European countries like Norway and Finland and Sweden have backed down on some of the action that they're taking and giving it a bit more time, since we can all agree that preteen and teens, a very confusing time for all humans. So I think having that conversation is important. I agree that when you see the big, ugly commercials that make it seem big and scary and, the flamethrowers, that's not helping anyone. And it's actually hurting the cause, because we do need to have these conversations. For me, someone who is very concerned about younger people, and then because that's, affected me and people close to me personally, and female athletes, I wish we could have a conversation, and I wish I could have the conversation without being grouped in with the flamethrowers.
Do you feel
the
like we're doing that to you now?
I've felt it before. No, not now. I mean, you guys are letting me speak, but I mean, this is something that's a very, it's an issue that I would say is one of the hardest for me to talk about without feeling automatically dismissed.
Are those the same?
What are you referring to when you say we're letting you do it now?
No, you're listening to me talk. She was saying, do I feel dismissed now? And I'm saying, well, no, because you're letting, I'm talking. I don't feel dismissed.
Yeah. Are those two things the same? Are they the same conversation? Because I see the one.
They're different, but I would say under the,
because one
under
of them,
the umbrella.
I don't really have an experience in it, so I don't have a strong take, but one of them would seem to mean other people should not be telling families how to handle their kids' issues. The other one is very clear. It is impacting other people, and we need to have the conversation for sure.
I was saying that two both fall under the umbrella of the of transgender care or transgender issues. And so I was saying under that umbrella, both of those are very valid concerns. And I think that there are people who are in bad faith doing the flamethrower commercials, and that hurts.
You know,
the conversation.
What just highlights is how important conversation is.
Yeah. And reasonable.
Yes. When you say things like your little boy is going to go to school and come home a little girl, that's not true. Now, is it possible your little boy could go to school and there could be a teacher who encourages them that they're actually a little girl? Yes, that could happen. People are people. People do things. Am I concerned with that? Sure. Should you be concerned with that? Sure. Should it be illegal? I don't know. This is why you have conversations.
455 DGS. Good segment, that last segment. Lots of good conversation. We have a very short amount of time here. You guys think we're going to know enough tonight? Think we're going to know? Or do you think we're talking more like Wednesday through Sunday?
I think we know tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Really late tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I mean, the misconception is that we've always known for sure. We just knew within statistical probabilities on election night because in the past, elections weren't as close. But the last handful have been very close. So you have it's always taken days to actually count votes. That has always been the case. But yeah, it's harder to project now because we're looking at 50.5 to 49.5 kind of margins, and that makes it tougher.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.